Welcome to eMemory's fourth quarter 2020 webcast investor conference. Today with us, we have Chairman Dr. Charles Hsu, President Dr. Rick Shen, Vice President of Business Development and Spokesman Mr. Michael Ho, Director of Investor Relations Ms. Li-Jeng Chen, and Director of Finance Department Ms. Teresa Kuo. The format for today's event will be as follows. The first, eMemory's Chairman Dr. Charles Hsu will give an opening remark. Afterward, eMemory's President Dr. Rick Shen will summarize our operations in the fourth quarter and full year of 2020, followed by our outlook of our business. Next, Dr. Charles Hsu will introduce the topic entitled Applications of PUF-based Security Solutions in Data Processing Unit. Then we will go into the Q&A session where our management team will be ready to answer your questions. Please feel free to submit your questions in the input box on the webcast window throughout the conference. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded and a webcast replay will be available within 2 hours after the conference is finished. Please visit the company's website at www.ememory.com.tw under the Investor Relations section. As usual, before we begin, we would like to remind everyone that today's presentation may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risk factors associated with the semiconductor and IP business. Please refer to the cautionary statement as shown on page 3 of today's presentation. Now, I would like to give the floor over to eMemory's Chairman, Dr. Charles Hsu.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for attending our conference call today. To begin, I would like to recap our technology development and provide an overview of what we will drive our growth for the next 5 years. Our technology takes an average of 5 to 10 years from development to takeoff. Our first technology, NeoBit, which we invented in year 2000, now has a penetration rate of 20% in 8-inch wafers and is still accounting for 60% of our current royalty. As most of our technology platform has been established and the newest tape-out uses our fully developed IP, the R&D resource required is limited. We foresee that there will be a second growth phase as our NeoBit has been employed into various automotive platform, therefore making room for its penetration rate to grow. Our second technology, NeoFuse, which is basically used for the 12-inch, which we have invented in year 2010, is the main driver in our current rapid royalty growth. We'll increase our penetration rate in 12-inch from the current 2% to at least 10% in the future. From our most recent royalty report, royalties from 16 nanometer below have started to kick in. For our MTP, multiple time programmable device technology, we began it at 2013. The goal of our MTP technology is to become an embedded memory platform. Particularly for different kinds of MCU and automotive and also power management applications. We have started seeing that in the BCD-based technology platform, there are requirement, many requests on the MTP technology, particularly for the smart power applications. In addition to our MTP technology, we have also developed embedded MRAM, embedded ReRAM with partners, and also AI memory, which uses our MTP as a memory cell to simulate neuron-like memory cell architecture. There will be a breakthrough on the revenue this year as the license revenue and the activities significantly grow. And our NeoPod, which we invented in year 2015, will drive our growth beyond 3 to 5 years, as we expected that our top IP will play a key role as the core component in the security root of trust for the data center, AI, automotive, autonomous driving, edge computing, and IoT. And all of this plays the role for our future. And we are very confident that the growth has just begun. Next, I would like to invite Rick to report our fourth quarter and the 4 year operating results and the outlook of our business. Okay, Rick, please.
Thank you, Charles. Good afternoon, everyone. I will first begin with our fourth quarter results. Fourth quarter revenue was $497 million, a sequential increase of 12.6% and 37.2% year over year, or up 15% sequentially, or 45.3% year over year in US dollars. The operating expenses were $261 million, up 7.1% sequentially and 29.1% year over year, mainly attributable to expenditure increases such as human resource expenses, rewards, bonus, and the compensation of employees and directors. This brings us to the operating income of $235 million, with an increase of 19.3% sequentially and 47.5% year over year. Therefore, the operating margin increased by 2.7 percentage points sequentially and 3.3 percentage points year over year to 47.4%. Overall, our fourth quarter EPS was $2.6 and the ROE was 41.8%. For the full year of 2020, the revenue was $1,777 million, up 26% year over year, or grew 31.6% in US dollars. The operating expenses increased 21%, and the operating margins was 46.3%, with an increase of 2.2 percentage points, EPS up 30.4% to $9.52, and the ROE gained 6.7 percentage points to 38.3%. Now let's move on to revenue contribution by licensing and royalty. Licensing in the fourth quarter accounted for 31.1% of the revenue, up 39% sequentially and 33.2% year over year, or up 42.1% sequentially and 40.9% year over year in US dollars. Royalties in the fourth quarter contributed 68.9% of the total revenue, increased 3.7% sequentially and 39.1% year over year, or up 5.9% sequentially or 47.4% year over year in US dollars. For the full year of 2020, the licensing revenue is $490 million, while the royalty are $1,287 million. Licensing and royalty grew 13.9% and 31.3% respectively, or 19.1% and 37% respectively in US dollars. In terms of revenue contribution by technologies, the results are as follows. NeoBit, accounted for 17.1% of the total licensing revenue in the fourth quarter, increased 6.2% sequentially, but decreased 17.1% year over year. The royalty accounted for 57.2% of the total royalty, down 7.6% sequentially, but up 17.8% year over year, mainly due to content increase of the applications such as PMIC, TDDI, fingerprint, and the sensors. NeoFuse accounted for 71.3% of the total licensing revenue in the fourth quarter, up 60.6% sequentially and 67.5% year over year. Its royalty increased by 26.7% sequentially and 94.1% year over year due to the continuous production of existing and new applications such as TDDI, OLED, PMIC, DTV, Bluetooth, and ISP. This brings the royalty of the NeoFuse to contribute 39.6% of total royalty. Our power-based security IP contributed to 1.7% of licensing revenue in the fourth quarter, although this technology has not yet to contribute to any royalty. Engagement with industrial leaders is still actively ongoing. As for MTP technology, licensing revenue decreased 33.6% sequentially and 9.3% year over year to account for 9.9% of licensing revenue in the fourth quarter. Royalty from MTP decreased 3.9% sequentially but increased 8.9% year over year due to to contribute 3.2% of the total royalty. Currently, our MTP team is working with partners on developing MRAM, ReRAM, AI memory. Both ReRAM and AI memory have been verified with proven results and definitely have a breakthrough this year. In the full year of 2020, for NeoBit, the licensing revenue decreased by 17.4% year over year, but the royalty increased by 9.2%, accounting for 50.8% of total revenue. For NeoFuse, the licensing and the royalty revenue grew 38% and 119.8%. Year over year, contributing to 43.6% of total revenue. For power-based security IP, licensing revenue increased 148.2% year over year, contributing to about 0.7% of the total revenue. For MTP technology, the licensing revenue declined 30.9%, but royalty increased 1.9% year over year, accounting for 4.9% of the total revenue. Now, looking at royalty from 8-inch and 12-inch wafers. 8-inch wafers, which accounted for 61% of royalty, increased 5% sequentially and 21.2% year over year. 12-inch wafers contributed to 39% of royalties, increased 1.7% sequentially and 80.9% year over year. For the full year of 2020, 8-inch wafers accounted for 62.3% of royalties, with an increase of 18% year over year. 12-inch wafers accounted for 37.7% of the royalties, with an increase of 61.4% compared with the previous year. There were 137 product tapeouts completed in the fourth quarter, a record high quarterly number. In 2020, there were a total of 494 product tables completed, which is also a record high yearly number, reflecting increasing demand of our IPs. We will provide more information in the management report that will be released later today. In the next section, I will address our future outlook. We expect the growth of the revenue to continue in the first quarter of 2021 and beyond. For licensing revenue, besides continuing strong demand from our new fields and the new PUF IPs, we also expect the MTP licensing revenue to increase significantly. Overall, we expect the licensing revenue to grow this year. For royalty revenues, we expect both 8-inch and 12-inch royalties to continue their growth momentum. 8-inch royalties will grow due to PMIC content increase in 5G smartphones and the demand pickup for TDDI, automotive, and IoT applications. 12-inch royalties will have strong growth as customers are increasing production for ISP, OLED, DRAM, SSD controller, multimedia-related, networking-related, such as Bluetooth, Wi-Fi 6, TWS, and others. Besides, royalties from 16 nanometer, 16 nanometer, and below will have started to kick in based on our most recent royalty report. For new business development, all new applications are centered on the business development of hardware security. New fields in advanced process is being adopted for secure key storage and is seeking to replace the conventional e-fuse. We expect this will be a trend for hardware security. Business activities of public security solutions are in progress in the application of IoT, industrial IoT, AI, blockchain, FPGA, data processor unit, DPU, mobile storage, UFS, and automotive. Our PUF RD has also recently been adopted by some American customers and our cooperation is in progress. Partnership with the processor IP vendors are in progress. That is, the cooperation with ARM and RISC-V related. This continues to extend our PUF-based security solution platform and bring in more customer adoption. For the new IP technology development, we have demonstrated 6 nanometer, 6 silicon results successfully. Our 5 nanometer plus, N5P has been tapped out in Q4, and we expect the completion of the silicon verification in 2021. In Q3, we have announced crypto processor, PUF IoT, which integrates with our Root of Trust PUF RD with crypto engines. PUF IoT is aiming to provide IoT and AI chip with a comprehensive, easy-to-use security solution. In Q4, we have announced a joint partnership with UMC on PUF Flash development by providing an integrated security solution for encrypting and protecting the data in Flash. We will continue to develop our PUF-based solution to implement HSM, that is hardware security module, which can be embedded in the chip to provide security function for network applications. Now, I will pass the time to Charles.
Okay, please turn to page 15. I will start to explain why DPU is booming up, and also why a DPU require more security solutions. As everybody knows that NVIDIA is a big company on a GPU, and why GPU becomes important is because a lot of new applications, particularly AI applications, require a lot of pattern recognition or graphic recognitions. So the GPU become the very good accelerator to compute the graphic data. So in general, CPU can take care of many, because CPU is very general for the computation, and also for can be used for the computation, also the data storage, also other network functions. It's very general functionality. But however, as the application increases, such as the AI application, and then now there are a lot of IoT applications. So since the year before last year, NVIDIA started to promote their DPU. And also from the last year, we started to promote our PUF security solution in the North America market. We also get the inquiry from quite a few of DPU companies. So I would like to take this chance to give everybody a very short brief about what DPU can do to assist the CPU. So as you can see from the page 15, we have the simple diagram to compare the conventional data center and also the DPU-powered data center. A DPU process unit is a process which can offload the CPU burden by assuming the responsibility of managing the data processing in network server and the data center, such as storage and data classification, and also the security. And this will extend the data processing capability will be improved the system performance in a similar way as what the graphic processing unit, GPU, does to improve the graphic processing performance. So as IoT is booming, a lot of data will be collected from the edge device. So the data-centric driven processor are becoming very important to manage big data. So therefore, in addition to CPU and the GPU, DPU is required for improving network server and the data center performance. So that's why in the page 15, you can see that for the new architecture, CPU will be taking care of the application management, while DPU will assist CPU for the network management, storage management, and also security management, because those are very related to the data processing. So the conventional CPU after the DPU offload the CPU, so CPU can perform the application management very well, and also the security in the past, the CPU need to also take care of the security, but because the security function is also can occupy a lot of CPU computation time, but if the DPU can take care of the security, then the CPU can take care of the application management very efficiently. So the inclusion of a DPU, it can offload the networking processing, and also the particularly for the networking processing, because in the 5G, actually they are so-called virtual defined network, and which need to slice the network server for the three different applications. One is for the many connectivity, and one is for the high bandwidth, and another is for the very ultra-low latency applications. So if the network server have a DPU, DPU can take care of that. Also, because of the network now is so-called virtual network, so the security will become very important because for the storage and also network processing, and they are all share the same memory and also same path. So that's why the security become very important to take care of the each branch of the service. So by doing this, so CPU can focus on its processing for the edge application instead, and the overall performance of the server, including the network server and the data center, can be have a lot of improvements. And so in such case that the DPU need to have a more security function into the DPU. So the embedded security function not only enhance the overall level of defense, but also can prevent CPU operation from being interfered with by the hacker, and preventing the massive security breakdown. For example, now there are a lot of botnet attack, and also the attack from we called it phishing mail or other different kind of attack, which will influence the CPU's operation. But if a CPU take care of that, then the CPU can still continue to do the application processing without being interfered by the attacks. So in time, when both the amount of sensitivity of data surges, when the IoT application become booming, the DPU need to be equipped with more solid security functions so that the data will be well protected during the transmission or the processing. And that is why security solutions are essential to DPU. And so most of our potential customer in North America, when they inquire us about our PUF-based hardware security solution, I think that are very interested, and they think that this could be embedded into their DPU to provide a very strong security functions. And the reason why the PUF-based hardware security solution can enhance DPU securities is because in order to attain the fast and the very reliable security operations, each system needs its own unique identifier at the hardware level. And this unique identifier is basically similar to the fingerprint to the human being. And that is the fingerprint of the chips. So the security can use that, we call it the one-of-a-kind PUF values to generate, because this a unique identifier is created by PUF, and the DPU can use this unique identifier to generate keys and also to encrypt data and to ensure integrity and also authenticate between sensors and the receivers. So we found that embedded the PUF into, and also PUF-based solution into DPU chips can enable very high security and very high performance for the chip solution and also the entire systems. So I think that is what I want to share about why DPU becomes I think the new architecture and also new elements in the new systems, such as the virtual network processor and also the data centers. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Charles. This concludes our prepared statement. We now begin the Q&A session. Please submit your questions in the input box on the webcast window, and you will enter a queue. Should you wish to raise your question in Chinese, we will translate it to English before our management answers your question. We are now going to collect questions and we will reply to you in a minute. Please stay with us.
Okay, thank you everyone. We already have many questions. I will invite Rick to answer one by one. The first question is regarding our general revenue, which is record high, $420 million. And the guest once asked, is the IP licensing the service revenue, which is also record high, is one-time recognition? And is the contribution from NeoPath or NeoFuse? In the last 3 months, eMemory IP licensing service revenue are more than NT$50 million. Will this be the norm in the future? So, Rick, please.
Okay, this, thank you for your attention on eMemory's revenue achievement. So, here I would like to answer that the upfront fee, like the NRE and the license fee, is recognized by milestone. So that is not just one time and without seasonality. So we can expect good growth from the licensing this year, as I mentioned, as strong demand from NeoFuse, NeoPath, and also MTP technologies.
And another question is, according to the annual report, eMemory royalty revenue accounted for 70% of the total revenue, which is higher than the world's largest IP company, Arm. This percentage is also significantly better than the domestic ND technology, 20%, and the N31 technology, 9%. Why is the proportion of eMemory royalty revenue so high?
Okay, this is a very interesting question. And first beginning, some investors also ask the same question before. So our business model, eMemory's business model is end for the royalty mainly, and we charge much less upfront license fee. Our current royalty reflects our accumulated effort from the past. The reason we can have the highest percentage of revenue from royalty, because for the first, our persistence and the stickiness with our business model. Second, the technology we embedded is the most fundamental part of the semiconductor structure. So whenever customer move into production, eMemory will be rewarded by the production royalty. So this is a win-win-win situation for all parties, including foundry partners, IT users, and eMemory. So with that, eMemory is able to enjoy the growing royalty contribution when customers succeed.
Another question from Mr. Chen, Sinopac. In last week, PUF Security News, PUF Security crypto coprocessor, PUF IoT PUF NIF CAVP certification. I would like to ask, but passing NIF certification certifies security algorithm, okay, including AES, CMAC, ERBG, key packaging. Does it mean that NeoPUF has made a great progress and will it adopt it into IoT-related security application?
Okay, well, first thing, I would like to thank you, Ms. Chen, for his attention on the on our progress, especially in the technical portion. So yes, the demand of our PUF-related IP is very strong. And we already tap out, as you know, and we mentioned several in past conference call that we already have several tap outs for the IoT chips and the other applications which embedded with the PUF IPs.
The question from Ms. Lee. Based on Q4 licensing revenue analysis, PUF base has declined since Q3, even lower than Q2. Although the amount declined is not large, but there seems to be a contradiction in the trend. Please explain.
Well, the revenue recognition is based on how we sign, when we sign the contract, and which cannot be judged only by one quarter. So customers' requests for PUF, as I mentioned, are very strong, and that we expect more licensing to come this year.
And it is mentioned in the previous earnings call, royalty from your PUF will be seen as early as the second half of the year. Does the schedule still remain?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we expect the customers will move into production stage in the second half of this year, so everything runs smoothly.
Apple does not use our new PUF. Samsung uses its own S-Ren PUF. What are the other areas that new PUF could provide opportunity to help the company create high revenue growth?
Well, currently the hardware security is using standalone security element chip, we call that is SE chips. Our security solution by leveraging our PUF, new PUF, natural randomness function can be the security element as a full IP block directly embedded into chip itself. So the new PUF now is just at the very beginning stage. So we expect this will be the future trend for the hardware security.
What are the new PUF cases we have received or are negotiating?
Well, the demand for our PUF-related solution is very strong, as I mentioned. So there are many, many projects ongoing, including data center processor that is introduced by Charles just minutes ago, and also FPGA and ADAS for automotive and AI, industrial automation and IoT. All those requirements are from the customers in US, Europe, Taiwan, and also China.
In the current situation of capacity tightness of the foundry, does it impact the progress of our new product development and the verification? If so, how does the company cope with it?
Okay, I think that a lot of investors and shareholders are concerned about this current situation. But our answer is we don't see this an issue. So we have a regular higher number in table in the quarter and for the year and for the quarter and for the month of January this year. So on the other hand, for the long-term business development and growth, foundries still allocate certain resources for the new platform development and the new product deployment. So at this circumstance, eMemory's technology and technical excellence are quite essential to support foundries and fabless companies too for the product development. So we are now still busy in development projects.
Okay, thank you. Foundry supplanted the production of panel driver ICs for the production of automotive chips, causing their production output to reduce. What is the impact on the company?
Okay, this is a very good question. And our IP are also developed in the automotive platform too. So as we reported many times. So on the other hand, the tighter capacity, the better foundry price, wafer price, so which will benefit our royalty income.
Is there any product tape out in automotive application? When is royalty income expected?
Oh yes, we have many automotive technology platforms and accumulate many tables and already have a royalty contribution and constantly increased.
With the new era approaching such as 5G, Wi-Fi 6 and the EV, gallium nitride and the silicon carbide are rapidly becoming mainstream. How will this affect the company?
Okay, this is a very good question and quite technical. So I think that the purpose of using gallium nitride and the silicon carbide is for the discrete power. That is the ultra-high voltage or ultra-high current driving. So our IP are adapted for power management. It's quite different, right? So which integrates the power management, integrates different function blocks such as MCU, a clock, generator, LDO, and RF. So therefore, the market is different. The trend for power management is moving into more advanced process nodes, and we even have customer adopt 16 nanometer for digital power solution. So in addition, in case more power or more high frequency products can be deployed in the system, it means that more product application will bring in more silicon-based IC requirements. So as you learn, more IC contents are included in the electric vehicle. So it helps our customers to have more business opportunity and benefit in memory accordingly.
Thank you. In the face of booming era of the semiconductor industry, a large amount of capital expenditure and employees have been increased. What is the company's strategy in employee recruitment?
Okay, so this is the question regarding our recruitment. So first thing, I would like to emphasize that eMemory is a technology innovation company. So we encourage engineers to create new technology for enabling new product applications. So for the most important thing for eMemory is to develop our talents for more contribution instead to recruit more people. But we recruit new talents based on what we need. For the young talents recruitment, as you may know, eMemory is offering two formal courses on our Numerical Memory and Hardware Security Technology at National Tsinghua University. So this will help us to recruit new talents directly from the school.
Okay, thank you. The question regarding MTP. As we mentioned, we're going to have a breakthrough in licensing and activity. Can we elaborate more what kind of application are MTP?
Okay. The breakthrough in regarding the MTP is we will deliver the ReRAM and the AI memory for customer to use in foundries. So it means that it will bring us to the new era of the product applications.
And the other is regarding our employee bonus. It's based on revenue. The 50% profit sharing is based on revenue or based on profit?
Okay, the bonus is based on the profit before tax. So it means that the 15% of the profit before tax.
As a reminder, should you wish to raise a question, please submit your questions in the input box on the webcast window and you will enter a queue. We will collect your questions and we'll get back to you in a moment. Please hold on. What do you look for
when you hire engineer, what is unique about your hiring process?
Okay. I think as I mentioned that eMemory is a technology innovation company. So the engineer we are looking for is the person with the features of innovation and the proactiveness. So I think that will be our key factor to evaluate the potential candidates.
What will be the single largest growth driver by end application in Q1 and 2021?
Okay, at this moment we foresee a lot of product application will drive the revenue growth, no matter in the first quarter or in this year. So that include the ISP, OLED, and a lot of product applications in 28 nanometer and below.
As a reminder, should you wish to raise a question, please submit your questions in the input box on the webcast window and you will enter a queue. We will collect your questions and we'll get back to you in a moment. Please hold on. As there are no further questions, we now begin closing comments. Charles, please proceed.
Okay, thank you everyone again for your patience and the support for eMemory. We will continue to work hard on innovating IP and technologies and also the security solutions for our customers and bring a higher return for our shareholders. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Before we conclude today's event, please be advised that the recording of the conference will be accessible within 2 hours from now. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We hope you will join us again next quarter. You may now disconnect. Goodbye and have a good day.